Hi, I'm Ken.
And I'm Dee.
And this is Antiques Freaks.
Podcast to you in these uncertain times.
Crosstown Podcast. What antiques we talk about this week?
Well, funny you should ask because the lead into this. I, like, completely forgot what season weddings usually happened in. And I thought this was going to be, like, a topical for the month. And it's maybe not as off as I now know it is, but we're going to talk about wedding cake toppers.
Ooh.
You'll forgive me for not realizing that that's June and not May, because I'm dumb.
Listen, you're ahead of the game.
Yeah. You know what? Yeah, I'm ahead. Vintage wedding cake toppers. Vintage and antique wedding cake toppers. I think that they're monstrously gross. I think they're pretty nasty, and that is... Well, falls pretty nicely in with my general obsession with oddities and weird stuff.
Okay. So we're selling this episode on it's not the correct month for it, and also we hate it.
I don't hate it. I think it's nasty, but I don't hate it.
Okay.
Like, I think arsenic is nasty.
Alright, I'm eager to see how this goes on. Where this path leads us.
Well, okay. Now, wedding cake toppers are a thing because of, hey, do you want to take a guess?
The patriarchy.
No. What prominent British figure popularized wedding cake toppers?
Was it Queen Victoria?
Oh, who but Queen Victoria?
God damn it.
Queen of sickening whimsy. Because, you know, wedding cakes have been a thing pretty much for as long as the idea of weddings. And, you know, they've evolved over time. But Queen Victoria, she took the idea of decorating a wedding cake to the next level. By the way, what I'm about to describe was a foot tall, so just let that haunt your nightmares.
Okay.
A Grecian goddess, fashioned to be Lady Britannia, reaching out her hands and blessing the Greek-clad Prince Albert and Queen Victoria.
They got little ketones?
Yeah. A whole foot tall on top of that cake.
I cannot wait for Olivia to correct my pronunciation of ketones.
Thank you in advance, Olivia. This might have something to do with the fact that her daughter's wedding cake would go on to be 7 goddamn feet tall.
Okay, that's a choice.
Because I guess all we ever really want to do is show up our mothers, but...
Well then.
Yeah, a cake that's taller than several of the tallest people I know. Fantastic.
It's taller than most of humanity, Dee. Pretty much anyone who isn't in the NBA caps out at like 6'5".
I don't know how tall Shaq is, and he's kind of like my benchmark, and I think he might be 7 feet tall.
Yes, he most certainly is.
Okay, so, oh man, a Shaq-sized wedding cake, but a Shaq-shaped wedding cake as well. So since everyone wanted to do everything like Victoria did, people started having figural cake toppers. Now, first, these were made pretty much out of marzipan, spun sugar, or sugar gum paste. And they're billed as edible, although they were painted with regular paint. But I guess at this point, like, we should just sort of expect that from these people.
Wait. Oh, God. They're doing the thing where they're just like, we can paint our walls and our dresses and our pacifiers with this, so surely we can put it on a wedding cake?
Yeah. I mean, why have different materials?
Oh, dear.
And it's like, it's on food, which makes it edible by default, I guess.
No, that's not... No.
Good no. Philosophy.
God damn it. No.
In fact, the first ad for a commercial gum paste topper, these were sold almost exclusively by the bakeries that made the cakes, was run in 1892 in a magazine called The British Baker. And they were being sold, big surprise, alongside cake.
Okay.
So it makes a lot of sense to have something that goes on top of your food be made out of food. But pretty quickly, it escalated into just about every freaking thing you could imagine becoming cake topper material.
Solid lead cake toppers painted with arsenic?
Hey, lead does come up, but ugh.
No.
Made out of cake, candy, wax, plaster, chalkware, paper mache, crepe paper, fabric, porcelain, ceramic, pottery, metal, celluloid, other plastics, wood, composition, salt glaze pottery, glass, pipe cleaners, regular paper, seashells, decorative nuts. Many of them featuring a mixture of all of these materials.
I'm assuming the plaster was asbestos-based, because God forbid the cake catch fire.
No, it was largely plaster of Paris, which I don't believe was asbestos-based.
Okay.
I can't speak to maybe earlier plasters, being asbestos based. But the most common.
I don't think any of these things should be eaten.
It's just like, you notice that a lot of those materials at a point historically did contain a lot of poison.
Yeah.
It's like the colored crepe papers for a long time were pretty poisonous. The metals did contain lead for a pretty long time.
The pottery contained lead glazes.
Yeah. The nuts were okay.
Well, we'll always have nuts, I guess.
We'll always have nuts. The reason for such a wide variety and occasionally mishmash of items is because I'd say, I don't want to give like a percentage, but a really good number of cake toppers are actually sort of a form of folk art. A lot of people have argued about it being defined as a folk art, but between being made by like families or, you know, small individual bakeries, it qualifies as a kind of folk art, I think. And all the others made out of, you know, rapidly producible materials generally are like the factory made ones that you see later and later and later. The tradition continued strong in 1920. Emily Post, the famed maven of all things etiquette, called a tiered wedding cake with a topper a vital tradition.
Vital.
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 Post loved the Victorians, you know that. They continued to take off commercially in the U.S. after World War I because of the widespread use of catalogs.
Uh-oh.
Assumably because having a catalog made you aware that cake toppers existed to be purchased.
Catalogs, the Amazon of yesteryear.
Amazon and more, honestly. You could buy a whole ass house in a catalog.
I mean, yes, you could. That is a choice you could make. I'm sure someone's trying to sell a fucking build-your-own tiny house kit on Amazon.
Oh god, probably though, huh?
Yeah. So cake toppers.
there are also little, what they called separate cake toppers, which were actually like these little hinged dolls.
Frozen Charlotte?
Kind of like that. So you could pose them, and they, you know, kind of had different styles, and so they could be posed with, like, a bride and a groom, and individually, so you could actually just do the whole blasted wedding party if you really wanted.
Just on, like, descending tiers of the cake?
Actually, an actual design, yes.
Beautiful. Glorious. I'm coming around to this notion. It's actually great.
As with all things wedding, it tends to absolutely revolve around the concept of one-upmanship.
Now, there are some people who hold the belief that a wedding is to join two people together for life and to celebrate their partnership and affection for each other.
I would ask those people to read through an hour's worth of MarthaStewartWeddings.com and, like, try to grip for dear life to that fucking precious ideal.
Oh, God, no.
Because as far as I can tell, weddings actually only exist now to one-up each other.
That is not true.
And or severely inconvenience your parents-in-law. It's like, oh, great, now we have to go to Malta. Awesome. I don't even know where Malta is.
Okay, D.
Yes.
I know you've been to some dreadful weddings, but...
It's been to some stinkers.
Sometimes weddings can be nice. Sometimes there is a clown handing out chapbooks of poetry.
Listen, we aren't all so blessed as you to live in the western part of the state, okay? Where things are magical. And there are clowns. Some of us have to sit through hours of having your hair re-dyed, and they don't know what to do with the texture of it, and they don't understand that you're very pale, so they put, like, a really horrible color red on you, and then it's, like, 2 hours, and the priest is still talking, oh my god, and you, like, know the bride isn't religious, so you don't even know what you're doing here.
Or sometimes you have a wizard standing at the head of the congregation explaining that they were originally intending to do a fire ceremony where they join two candle flames, but because of the wind of the outdoor ceremony, they have chosen to instead combine vases of water from the respective backyard brooks of each half of the couple. At which point the wizard shrugs and says, they're all good elements.
God, that's cute.
It was such a cute wedding! Oh my god.
I gotta say, Wiccans and, like, magic people in general, very good weddings.
I don't think they're Wiccan. I think they're Buddhist, but I'm not sure.
Okay, well, that has the potential to come off as incredibly disrespectful.
Unitarian Universalism confuses a lot.
Okay, well... Non-Christian. Well, I'm just gonna stop there.
Again, Unitarian Universalism does not necessarily mean non-Christian.
The Lutherans beg to differ.
It's the libertarianism of religions.
That's a really mean thing to say about your own church.
If libertarians had empathy...
Oh, okay, now we... Alright, that does make it different.
Yes, then you get Unitarian Universalists. And trust me, every single one of them will laugh at that.
It sounds to me like Unitarian weddings are good weddings.
That might explain... Hang on. Considering the religion I was raised in, that might explain why I've been to so many good weddings.
Yeah, like, hey, I don't know what you're talking about. I've had great weddings. It's like, meanwhile, all of us in Catholic misery town are just like, oh, it's been 6 hours. I didn't know that the psalm went on this long. So, I mean, not to be grim, I actually like the idea of weddings. I don't like the idea of them being used to flex or flaunt wealth or anything. And actually, like, my appreciation of weddings is why I like vintage cake toppers. I think that especially when they represent, like, kind of folk art, it's incredibly charming.
Yeah.
And, just like everything else, vintage and antique, cake toppers have become collectible.
Oh no.
This is one of those other things where it seems like roughly every 6 years, a vintage wedding fad will fade back into consciousness and just eat up pages and pages of Martha Stewart's website until a different vintage trend takes over again.
Does this mean I can blame the Victorians for mason jars?
Sure. I'll let you have that.
I don't mean it, like, as a question of free will. I mean it as a question of culpability.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes on both. So, every now and again, brides will decide that vintage cake topper is kind of the charming thing they want to have. Which I think is odd because, from what I understand, like many, many, many stories, a lot of people get into collecting these because they are handed down a family heirloom of some sort. Although I did read a delightful short story about a guy who did vintage wedding dress restoration who ended up collecting them because they kept falling out of the dresses he had.
Oh, because people would store them in there.
Yeah. So, you know, he would buy them later.
Just, like, wrap all your wedding memorabilia up together. Oh my god, that's cute.
Yeah, so he would unwrap wedding dresses and a wedding topper would roll out and he'd be like, oh wait, this is actually really sweet.
That's really cute. Fuck.
Well, yeah, I mean, I think that's great. I love that. So, you are already touched by this element of romance and want to find your own, I take it.
I would not go that far.
Okay. So why I called them nasty is because... my experience with cake toppers was almost entirely 1940s royal icing toppers that had been surprisingly intact, but this thing about handling food that old that just yucks you out.
Oh, God, wait. These are edible cake toppers that are...
Many of them are. No. They're not all, but a lot of them are. And they tend to command... No. I don't want to... I can't equate it to price, but they tend to command a different echelon of cake topper collection. Because obviously...
Oh, God, no.
A food cake topper has a shorter lifespan than
no.
Metal, for example.
Oh god, I'm having the visions of just a bride demanding a vintage cake topper to put on her present day cake.
I've seen it.
No.
I did not know this beforehand because I imagine it's for a niche collectible and even more niche collectible. There are people who actually collect wedding cake. Antique wedding cake.
No, I deny these people and demand that they stop.
Because there's an established tradition of keeping, like, a slice of wedding cake or sometimes, like, the very top piece.
Oh, yes. Yes. But, no.
And not a lot of people, I can't speak to amounts, but, you know, there are people who don't necessarily do the, well, you eat it after a year to remind yourself that you really do like this person. And I guess a lot of people Miss Havershammed it right the hell up and just sort of kept it forever. And there's actually an Antiques Roadshow segment where a woman has the top of an 1888 Victorian cake. And yes, it's the piece of cake.
How do you prove a piece of cake is that old?
Carbon dating, I guess.
How do you preserve a chunk of cake from the 1880s?
This one in particular was kept under a bell jar for pretty much its entire life.
Oh god, they really were just Miss Havishamming it.
100%. And I hate to tell you this, but it was valued at over $400, so...
Well, time to retire.
So it's... when you compare it to that, having, like, the food-based toppers isn't as weird, right?
No, I'd say it's just as weird.
Okay, so...
it is exactly as weird. They occupy the exact same point on the weirdness scale, I would say.
Yeah, so it is putting into relief why I said... I started this out by saying they were disgusting and horrible, right? But there is also... I can't deny, there's also something really charming and alluring about seeing it survive this long.
Listen, as a museum piece, maybe, but no.
What is a common antique but a museum piece for your own home?
Wow.
Right? Right?
Really makes you think, don't it?
It really makes you think that you should have a chunk of 100-year-old buttercream in your home.
It does not make me think that, no. Actually, that is not the thing it makes me think, in fact.
Well, that's a shame. So, when you're looking at desirability, unfortunately, or fortunately, depending on how you want to take this, is a lot of different things to consider. Mostly, like everything else, it's rarity, which tends to be two axes, which is age and material of manufacture. As mentioned before, you can get a pretty penny for a genuine Victorian piece of sugar. A 1950s piece of, like, gum paste, for example, actually wouldn't be worth quite as much as maybe you think.
So, sorry, not to derail, but the Victorians were pretty, after a certain point, they were pretty into adulterating food. And notably, anything that was a white powder got lead added to it.
Yeah, that's very likely.
Okay, just throwing that out there, just throwing that little fact out there for everyone to enjoy along with their 100-year-old cake.
I mean, and if you, for more information, you can check out our Danger Antiques Lead episode for just how long it took people to realize that lead was dangerous.
Too long.
Too long. That's the short answer.
Well, okay, no. They realized it was dangerous right away. They started doing something about it around the 70s.
Started giving a damn. So with cake toppers, for the very obvious issues of it being made of food, and or just the idea that it's a utilitarian object that tends to get passed down, condition you could be more lenient with. Generally, especially, like I said, with frosting or gum paste pieces, people tend to be more understanding of the idea that it's gotten some nicks and scrapes and bumps. Again, that is provisional. I don't think anyone's going to be quite as understanding if a metal piece is covered in damage. They're not going to say, well, yeah, naturally, it's been sitting on a cake for... No, it's metal. You should have done better. Do better.
No. I'm with them on this, because in an era where edible cake toppers are a thing, who's to say someone didn't try really hard to chomp down on the metal one?
I guess that's a good point. You really can't rule anything out, can you?
Especially if it's made of a soft metal, like lead.
Yeah, hey, you know what? You're right. It's all coming together. I'm gonna spread some lead on my toast.
No...
In general, other than that, like, just unusual pieces or pieces that are really indicative of certain periods of time. Par exemple, brides in flapper dresses.
Oh, that's so cute!
Yeah. Some of them actually have the rouged knees painted on them, which is just a charming little detail.
Did they really rouge the knees?
Yeah, that was a... Yeah.
Is that like a 20s thing?
Yeah. Yeah, it makes you look, you know, fresh and lively, and also your knees were showing for the first time.
Oh, because there are certain activities which will turn your knees real red, is the thing.
Well, that's part of it. It's like kind of like a cheeky...
Oh, this is deliberate. Okay. Just checking in. Never know with the fucking 20s.
Also, rouging like flush points has always been kind of like a cutesy thing. You see people do it with like necks and shoulders.
You see people do it with Tumblr fan art.
They really do. And knees are a blush point. So I could easily see it being a pretty innocent, like, just targeting a different flush point.
Sure.
But I think probably the raunchy overtones were also part of it, because, you know, the idea of being a flapper was pretty punk rock at the time.
as punk rock as the Gilded Age can get.
And that's about as bad as it got, yeah. You know, you get also, like, military uniforms that would be indicative of maybe post-World War I or post-World War II. Those are actually really valuable for crossover reasons. People really like military antiques. Some of them are just literally sculptures of Jackie O because something happened to people's brains back then when Jackie O, like, appeared.
Not to be extremely rude, but something very much happened to a specific person's brains.
Yo, that absolutely not my... You did that, all right? You did that?
You? You are the one. You are the one who said the thing.
So unintentional.
You're the one who said what happened to someone's brains to make Jackie O so popular. And I regret to inform you that there is a very specific event.
That's not what I was getting at. Oh my god, everyone's gonna hate me now. Now you've made them think that I did that on purpose. Why did something like this, like, repeating pattern in my life that people get mad at me because they think that I enjoy the fact that John F. Kennedy died. I'm pretty numb to it, honestly.
Jesus Christ.
I grew up in Massachusetts, there's only so much you can hear about it before it just becomes a historical fact.
Oh my god.
I'm not saying I have a blatant disrespect, it's just that it's... Alright, well, I made that worse.
Now that we fixed it, cake toppers.
Like, if you find a cake topper that's like an ethnic couple from pre-1960, those are actually usually very rare and tend to be custom jobs, because why would they make those, you know?
You might want to clarify that you're being sarcastic.
I'm being sarcastic.
There you go.
I'm trying to be dismissive and derisive of the popular racist views that were held as late as yesterday.
As late as tomorrow.
You know, you think about phrases such as ethnic toppers pre-1960, and you think about how in antique terms, 1960 wasn't that long ago, and you think, oh Jesus Christ, that's how long it took.
Yeah.
And you just, you know, I mean, I think everyone's benchmark for realization is different. For me, it's a lot of antique pieces. Or, you know, I think about a piece and say, that would barely be an antique. Like, I don't even know if I'd want that in my shop. And then I think, yes, that's this time scale we're working on. How depressing. But if you can find the little cake toppers, a lot of them, the early ones being custom, they're very charming, they're very well detailed, they can be really pretty.
Yeah.
Okay, so jury's out actually on whether or not they're easy to date or difficult to date.
Do you recommend biting it?
I really don't. No, because then you're going to get a mouthful of 200-year-old gum paste.
We've done it! We found the one antique that Dee does not recommend biting to identify.
I super don't. I really, like, 100% vote against biting it. I think you're gonna know sugar when you see it.
Lick it to be sure.
Ugh, God, please don't. First of all, you'll ruin it. So there's two camps of thought generally here. They are difficult to date because they volley wildly between mass-produced and homemade, neither of which necessarily offers, like, a really strong, like, standard of determining age. On the other hand, the materials they're made out of and what they represent tend to be very telling about when they were made. If you've got a piece that's made out of celluloid, you can pretty safely guess it's from before the 1930s.
After we figured out celluloid, and before we figured out something less flammable.
For example, if you got a Bakelite piece, 1930s.
After we figured out Bakelite, before we figured out something less explosive.
Yeah, because, like, you know, 1920s you see celluloid little Cupid dolls. I don't like that idea for a wedding, but you might.
What is not to like about Cupid dolls? Do we have to have a review episode to remind you that Cupid dolls are great?
No, they're, like, basically babies. I don't want to see them get married. Marriage is an adult responsibility.
They're Cupids! Their entire deal is that they make you fall in love.
They make me fall in love. Why are they getting married? They're magical fairy energies. I don't, like, can't get married. They can't, I don't want to see them adhere themselves to these, like, strict mortal rules, you know?
You don't want them to be constrained by the laws of man.
Well, and, like, you know, like I said, marriage is an adult responsibility. Like, they're too young. Forever. They're forever too young. This is now my podcast on the ethics of get marrying Cupies.
I feel like it is, though. Yes. Because it seems to have become this.
No, I wasn't joking. Just kidding. I was joking. I actually have managed to, like, handle these. I also find these very, by nature of their ephemeral quality, they're these, like, little rolled crepe paper figures, kind of made pretty similar to, like, a cornhusk doll might be made.
Okay.
Or you get bisque porcelain that's clothed in fabric.
Bisque porcelain, the porcelain famous for being so very close to human skin.
Ugh, God. You had to say that. I was just gonna make fun of it because it's, like, barely finished.
Every single time bisque porcelain comes up, the internet very much wants you to remember that it is prized for its texture being so very near to that of human skin.
It's so sad because those people haven't touched human skin.
It's true.
Or their loved ones are sharks. Which is actually dope as hell.
Yeah, I was gonna say. If Deep Blue is your aunt, like, you're fucking living it. You're good. Great Aunt Deep Blue, how's it going?
Man, I want Deep Blue to be my aunt. So many little nephews and nieces that were also sharks. Welcome to the Shark Cast, where I talk about how much I love sharks.
Shark's good, actually.
So, once materials start getting squirrelier, you know, the 1940s you see a lot of, like, coated porcelain with silk flowers and, like, netting veils, but that's a thing you'll see even, like, on wedding toppers that are made now. You can actually turn to our good old friend, the fashions being displayed there, and I really also like the cake toppers are kind of, they slot very nicely into collections for people who are into vintage and antique fashion, because so many of the cake toppers represent the common bridal fashion of the time.
Such as the flappers in the 20s?
Such as the flappers in the 20s, grooms wearing all white suit jackets is a very 1950s thing. If it's intensely ugly to look at, it's probably from the 60s.
Wow.
was just a little joke. This is a funny joke. Things like the groom having a beard, actually you don't see until the 1970s.
When you're free love enough for facial hair, but not free love enough to not get married.
Yeah. Free love, but only between me and my wife, thank you. And Victorian pieces tend to have the Queen Victoria-esque draping gowns. I guess the grooms are a little less reliable in this because their fashions didn't change quite as drastically. And these aren't really best known for their high level of detail. Mostly their visual charm. My other favorite thing about these, other than the fact that they're small and easy to keep in one place if you collect them, is their price. Their price point is startlingly low.
So you can just get right in there.
You can really jump right in. I've seen a lot of really nice pieces going for under $50. The norm seems to be roughly in like the 20 to 30 range. And it very, very rarely breaks out of the 100 range for even like high-end pieces. And by high-end, I mean an entire actual chunk of like turn-of-the-century cake. pre-1960s, ethnic couples tend to jump into the hundreds pretty quickly. But, you know, when the high end is, like, mid-hundreds, I call that, like, a pretty affordable sort of collectible. I'm told that they're easy to find. That's not really been my experience where I'm at, but I think this is, like, maybe a regional thing. Like, I'm suffering from living in a high-populated region.
You're suffering from living in a region where all the antiques are whale teeth-based?
Yeah. I'm wondering if it's just got something to do with the environment, because a lot of people say that they're easy to find at estate sales and antique markets. I don't see them that often, but, like, every other antiques blogger on the internet can't be lying to me without also knowing who I am, so...
It could just be a massive conspiracy directed at you specifically.
Here's the thing.
That's always an option.
Ken, consider this carefully. Would you put that past Martha Stewart?
No, I really wouldn't.
Exactly.
I feel like she would have a dedicated team for that. Hashtag thanks, Martha.
Among the other several $100 pieces, I just kind of wanted to mention this one because I love it. A bisque figure of a young mustachioed groom in formal Victorian attire, standing on a tall sculpted pure sugar paste base, next to a veiled bride whose gown is trimmed in real lace, posed under an arbor of white silk flowers with a bisque cherub with spun sugar wings suspended above them. I like that because it seems like they used pretty much exactly every single material available to them.
Sure did.
Short of like sterling silver or copper. Although I guarantee at some point the royalty had something like that.
This is our arsenic-encrusted lead. Enjoy.
We painted it with regular paint. It's edible.
No.
It's edible in that you can physically put it in your mouth and into your gullet.
I mean, I guess there's a choice you could make.
And that's pretty much it on wedding toppers.
All right.
It's another one of those delightfully specific things that I find incredibly charming and a little gross.
Welcome to antiques. Incredibly charming and a little gross.
Honestly, yeah. Well, new autobiography name.
Should that just be the tagline for the podcast?
Yeah! Hey, I like that.
Incredibly charming and a little gross.
I really like it. Shoot, it's got a ring to it.
Sources?
My sources for today include antiquesandauctionnews.net, their article, Go Into the Chapel. Countryliving.com, Vintage Wedding Cake Toppers. TheBaltimoreSun.com, Vintage Wedding Cake Toppers, and MountainStateCollector.com, Bride and Groom Wedding Cake Toppers, as essential as the wedding cake itself, and I almost forgot to mention Martha Stewart, she has a whole video on the subject.
She sure does.
Hashtag thanks Martha for making me sit through an entire wedding video about you.
Listen, you sought this out, she didn't make you do shit.
I, honest to God, until I started just, like, fact-checking and everything, forgot that Martha Stewart is basically, like, the title Empress of Weddings.
Yeah, her and Pinterest.
Ugh, God, imagine her getting married to Pinterest.
Did she not already? I'm pretty sure the documents are floating around.
She's trying to find a way to animate Pinterest into a human.
She's funneling all of her billions. If you would like to talk to us about wedding cake toppers or other antiques you'd like us to discuss on this podcast, you can email us directly at antiquesfreakspodcast@gmail.com. If you enjoyed this podcast, consider scrolling down to wherever you're listening to this and leaving a review, which will help people find this podcast in their podcasting app.
And it can be any kind of review. Coded message? Go for it.
Missed connections personals ad? Go for it.
Please do. I would love to read that.
You were a podcast. I dropped my phone.
Could I make it any more obvious? Sorry. Set yourself up.
If you would like to listen to deleted scenes, you can head on over to our Patreon, where for $1 a month you get access to all deleted scenes from this podcast, including some true bangers.
Oh, some real bangers. Walt Whitman, he's in there. He's up in the mix.
Oh, Lord, how he is. Special shout out to our current patrons for paying our hosting fees and getting us ever closer to our goal of releasing bonus episodes.
You the real ones.
And thank you in particular for listening.
That's right, you.
Goodbye.
Bye.